Thank you. Thank you. by. At this time, I would like to inform you that today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may just...
This is Tim joining.
Thank you. You may begin.
Welcome, Tim. And the meeting, as you just heard, is being recorded, and it is also being transcribed. So remember to identify yourself when you speak. And again, if you're using a speakerphone when you're speaking, it usually helps to use the handset then. I don't think he's on yet, but I do want to welcome Ray Fassett to the working group. Hopefully all of you saw my email there yesterday in that regard. And I actually, because Ray had expressed interest earlier and I didn't have a chair for the GTLD names at the second level, I actually asked Ray if he'd be willing to lead that, and so that we had a chair for every group, and he agreed. So I'm sure he'll be joining shortly. He said he would. So
Chuck, it's Marilyn. I have a question.
Yes.
If we have someone else who would like to just join the group but doesn't want to be a chair, can we still get them in? Just a joke.
Well, you know the statement of work, Marilyn. You helped me draft it. So, it is open, but we're obviously at a stage where it's
moving
harder. Now, in Ray's case, I happen to know personally that he had been tracking the work of the group and listening to the MP3 recordings and so forth, so it made a lot of sense in that way, too. And because that particular subgroup really related to registries a lot, and
right,
got the connection there, it made a lot of sense from my point of view. But
right.
Okay. All right. The next item is to just discuss the agenda. Are there any suggested changes to the agenda?
Chuck, before we do that, though, although people checked in, can you have Glenn confirm a roll call so we all...
Sure, Glenn, would you like to do that?
Yes, certainly, Chuck. On the call, we have yourself, Avery Doria, Marilyn Cade, Neil Blair, Greg Shatton, Mike Palage, Bilal Biram, Caroline Greer, Mike Rodenbach, John Nevitt, Alistair Dixon, Tim Ruiz, Tamara Resnick, and for staff, we have Patrick Jones and Liz Williams.
And did we miss anybody? That's all I'm showing on my view, so that's good. Thank you very much, Glenn.
Pleasure.
And now that we've done that, any suggested changes or questions about the agenda? Okay, I would like to encourage people to make sure that you update your interest statements to the list. And then they'll be included in all of the interest statements that are posted. Keep in mind that especially those of you who are chairing groups, if you have particular interest in a particular group you're chairing that maybe you didn't think about disclosing in your original statement, a simple little update would be a good idea. Welcome, Tamara.
Thank you. Hello.
And so going on then, our meeting scheduled dates right now are Wednesdays in April and Thursdays in May. So we've got the 11th, 18th, and 25th, with the time being the one that we're using today rather than the hour earlier time that we used last week. And then on Thursdays in May, it's the 3rd and the 10th, but I want to alert you that I thought maybe I was going to be able to avoid it, but I haven't been able to. I have an unavoidable conflict on the 3rd of May, so either we need to reschedule that or find an alternate chair for that day, and I apologize for doing that, but it's a two-a-year meeting that I have to be in, and so it's not one that when I can work around.
Chuck, it's Marilyn. Although I would be happy to chair in your place, I actually think, given the accelerated schedule we're under, we're better off with you in the chair continuously. Do you have an alternate date to propose?
Well, I put on here, I looked at the GNSO calendar, and Glenn, and Glenn, would you do me a favor? And I just saw a message from Ray Fassett. He apparently doesn't know the call-in number, so if you could email Ray real quick.
Yes, certainly.
Number, that would be appreciated. The only day I could find on the GNSO calendar is Tuesday, the 1st of May, because what happens is the Pro Working Group is switching from Tuesdays to Wednesdays in May, and so they're meeting on Wednesday. We know Fridays is not good, on that Monday I'm traveling. So
yeah, do we have we? Hey, Greg.
I'm here.
Your group is meeting on Tuesdays. Is it possible to work around, because that would give your group 4 hours of calls potentially. Is it possible, do we have a lot of overlap on the pro group? Glenn would know that.
There's quite a bit, but the 1st of May is a holiday in the heart of Europe.
Yeah, Labor Day.
That's right.
Okay.
It's not a holiday for me, Chuck, so if you want to go ahead.
Thanks, Marla. It's not for me either. So that's the only alternative I came up with that week. And on Wednesday, of course, with the pro working group going, it makes it our times would also would be very difficult for some people if we try to not only have two back-to-back meetings, but for some of our members, the times would then have
sure.
to be very uncomfortable.
Chuck, I'm happy to step in as chair. Are we going to be primarily reviewing reports from the subgroups at that point?
Yes, I think we will, or at least as far as they are at that stage. That's our next-to-last scheduled meeting. Marilyn, I certainly would be available that week, even though I'm going to be traveling, to assist however I could in preparation for that. So if you're willing to do that, why don't we work towards that alternative, and we'll just plan accordingly. And,
okay.
And I'll be able to come up to speed quickly after the meeting. I'm tied up from 1 p.m. Eastern until 8 that night in a long meeting. So.
So we would keep the 5-3,
yes. Yep.
And we can work ahead of time with the sub-chair groups and try to make this primarily a reporting out and getting feedback.
Yep.
Okay?
And any feedback that I'm not able to get to the chair directly, I can communicate with you
sure.
at that meeting and so forth, before the meeting and so forth. Because I will be able to, up until 1 o'clock Eastern that day, do some things. So, all right, good. That resolves that. Now, the next thing I wanted to do was just give an update on the subgroups that we have going. I think we have everything filled there. I don't see Ray on yet, so bear with me a second, and I don't know if he didn't get it or what, but I will send another email real quickly to him because I haven't seen him join yet. Okay, that's done. All right. Now, back to the agenda. So here's the status of the subgroup membership and the chairs that I have right now, and please add any corrections if you're aware of any. The ICANA-IANA Reserve Names Working Group is going to be chaired by Mike Rodenbaugh with Edmund Chung supporting him. The Single and Two-Character Reserve Names Group is being chaired by Greg Shatton with 9 other people joining in that one: Patrick Jones, Neil Blair, Marilyn Cade, Mike Rodenbaugh, Victoria McEvity, and Aubrey Doria, John Nevitt, and Alistair Dixon. Geographical and Geopolitical Names, Mike Pelage is chairing that. Carolyn Greer, Tim Ruiz, and Alistair Dixon are all members of that group. GTLD names at the second level. Third, if applicable, is Ray Fassett chairing that, Edmund Chung and Patrick Jones supporting there. Controversial Names, Aubrey is chairing, Marilyn, Victoria, Tamara, and Mike Pelage are all on that group. Did I make any mistakes in the subgroup membership? And my understanding is that the Controversial Names Group has a email list that's been set up for them, and that the single and two-character group is also requested one of those, and Glenn's aware of that. Now, if there are no questions or comments on that, let's go to the action items for Liz and I, and there are quite a few of those. Liz and I talked briefly this morning and have exchanged some emails, and I won't spend a lot of time on this one because she and I have a call scheduled for Friday morning.
That it didn't have it, yeah.
In that regard. Is that Ray?
Yes.
Welcome, Ray.
Thank you.
Okay. We're on agenda item 7.
Right.
Okay.
Chuck, yes, I'm sorry. I've been on mute, and yes, that is correct. I have that in my diary.
Good, good. And so we're going to – we've both done quite a bit of work on our action items. In fact, our goal is to, before the next meeting, have made very good progress and have completed some of those action items, especially those that the rest of you are dependent upon in the work that you're doing. So we will do that. Just with regard to a few specific ones, defining reserve names, that was something that was requested in our meetings in Lisbon, and I sent a draft of that that's a little bit more than just a definition or the approach that the working group is taking, the focus the working group is taking. And I sent that to Liz yesterday, and we'll be talking about that on the call on Friday morning as well.
Chuck, just so that just before you go on to the next bit, the stuff that I sent you today in terms of the templates for the working groups to start using, I'm happy that they're stable enough that you want to, if you want me to, I can now identify the chairs of those groups and send the chairs those templates now that I've got the list, and I'm happy to do that.
Let's hold off until after our meeting on Friday morning.
Sure, no problem.
I had a few questions that I wanted to ask and a few things, and so I think it'll probably be more effective if we wait till after our call.
Done.
Okay.
Yep.
Liz is already, just to let you know, and Liz, feel free to jump in if you want to, but Liz has already done some reorganization of the report along the lines that you see in the agenda there, and the basic format for that is up. She has also, and what she was just referring to, prepared a document template that each of the working subgroups will use for your individual subgroup report. So. And we'll get that out hopefully Friday, if not very early next week. And I think that's it, unless anybody has any questions about the work that Liz and I are working on. We'll move to the status updates from the subgroups.
It's Meryl. I just have one question. It's just to verify. I really appreciate how much work that the two of you are volunteering to take on. I just want to just verify, so once you do your work, it comes back to the full reserve name working group for edits and additions and comments. And so we're going to have to do that very quickly. Is that right?
That is correct. That's why our goal really, if we can achieve it, and as you can see, there's quite a few things on there, but if we can achieve it, our goal would be to have that out before the meeting next week.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that comments would have to come back by our meeting next week. Kind of depends on when we get it out. But, yes, that is correct, like I said last week.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Anything else on the work that Liz and I are doing? Okay. Let's start with the subgroups and have the chairs give a little update. And what I'm going to do along with your update is go back to the statement of work and just discuss a few things in case there are any questions or comments about some of the actions in the statement of work. So let's start off with the IANA reserve names. And Mike Rodenbaugh, I know that you just jumped into that, so I won't be shocked if you haven't got a lot done, but you can at least tell us where you're at.
Sure. I need to talk with Edmund specifically, but I had sent draft questions to you and to Liz, I think, last week as to what I proposed to send out. I'll send those to Edmund once I can find them. And bottom line, we just need to send them out to the various organizations, asking them, you know, to what purpose they put these domains, essentially, if any, and whether they think the reservations should be continued in all GTLDs for each of the names.
Now, Liz, I'm going to involve you in this. We talked last week about the importance of kind of having, making sure we centrally coordinate some of these things going out to people. Is it best that those go out from you, Liz, or is it okay that those go straight from the chair of the subgroup?
Chuck, I think that, not that Mike wouldn't have any trouble getting responses from people, but I think there's a couple of things we should remember is that perhaps coming from me, people will respond more quickly, maybe, but also if they respond to me, then we'll have a repository of all of the responses. I've had a couple of things happen to me in the last week or so that people have thought they've responded to me or to you and they haven't. So I'm happy to do whatever the group wishes, but I suspect that once Mike is ready, if he clicked me his stable list of questions, I can make sure that they're distributed to all the likely suspects that might be interested in it.
Okay.
That's an easy email thing to do, but perhaps Mike doesn't have access to those lists, so I'm happy to do that for him.
Okay, Mike, if you will resend those and include Liz on the distribution, and just one thing, we're going to have to get those out this week because we know that people take time to respond, and so we need to get those sent not later than this week to the various parties that they're going to.
Chuck, it's Marilyn. I have a question for Mike.
Go ahead.
It'd be helpful, I think, for the full group to have a better understanding. I understand that the council did make a modification to the request, the view that the full reserve name working group had. Can you just share with us or Liz, who are we going to? Are we going to, for instance, the tier ones who may be affected by changes like this? Are we going to the country code managers? Are we going to just generally, who are the folks we're going to ask this question?
I think we should go to plenty of people, Marilyn, you know, try to get abroad, try to get anybody who might be affected to at least consider the question.
But, Mike, aren't you specifically talking about the IETF, the IAEA?
Yeah, exactly. And we're not going to ask everybody about all the names, right? We're only going to ask the IETF about IETF.
Chuck, I don't really support that. I think we got to be careful here. We actually affect more than the IETF and more than IANA when we talk about the reservation of this name, the name.
Okay, Marilyn, I understand your point, and
yeah.
we'll have a broad statement at the beginning. This is where we're at with this issue, listing all the names that are on reserve, and obviously people will have a chance to comment.
At the same time, Marilyn, it seems to me that if in fact the IETF has concerns about the reserve named IETF, that it would be good to hear from them.
Exactly. I was thinking it was necessary but not sufficient.
Yeah, no, I think we're all in agreement there. That's a very good point.
Can I get in the queue, Chuck? This is Mike.
Chuck, this is Patrick. Can I get in, too?
Yeah, Mike and then Patrick. Anybody else?
Patrick could go first. Defer to staff.
Okay.
No, Mike. All right, well, I guess I'm concerned that these questions are going to go out to organizations. Is there also questions going to IANA or ICANN staff, because I think from staff perspective, we already commented on this during the first phase of the working group, and you're not going to get much more information than we already received.
So with Patrick, I think, are you referring to the email that said we will look into any basis for that?
I could be.
That's where I understand this was left.
Could you put me in the queue as well on this?
Just a comment in that regard, Mike, is that I think you and perfectly reasonable. You assumed that any further looking into this was going to happen fairly quickly. I didn't read it the same way. Now, I don't think they were specific, so who knows which one of us is right, but I think Patrick's trying to tell us right now that he doesn't think they're going to have time to look into that very quickly. Is that right, Patrick? I'm not trying to speak for you.
I would say so.
And that very well be the case for ICANN staff and for other of the organization. So, you know, I think we all realize that a lot of these issues aren't going to be resolved in our 30-day period, but to the extent we can continue the dialogue and push things forward, then that's, I think, the decision was made to do that.
And in fairness to Mike, he acknowledged very clearly that he realizes we may still not get all the work done that needs to be done in the 30 days, but what the council approved was to make an effort at it, and if we succeed, good. If we don't, we have a backup plan.
Chuck, I have a question of clarification about what the council approved. Can you just make sure I'm in the queue, please?
Sure. Mike Pledge.
Thank you, Chuck. I guess when we contact these people, some of the issues that I raised previously on this topic is I would like to document whether, in fact, there are any instances of confusion, because many of those names that appear on the current reserve list are in fact currently some of the competing legacy TLDs. So one of the reasons I think, you know, Mike's approach of contacting these organizations is we need to go to see whether there's actual harm. As I've articulated on this point from the very beginning, unless there's a harm, I do not understand the justification for why we continue to reserve these names, many of them, which, you know, again, just DNSO, which is no longer even in use. So,
That one's kind of a moot point, though, Mike. So just because
But as I said, there was also some of the
I respect your point. I'm just saying is the DNSO is one that's being changed as agreements are revised. So I don't think we need to spend any time on that one.
Use that as an example to the arbitrary nature of the list. I mean, it was put out there, oh, well, now we're taking it off. Well, why do some of the other ones still exist? And again, if we are talking about, you know, I think is the reason I think Mike's approach of contacting the organizations first is I believe that's where our first point of information gathering needs to be. And unfortunately, the response from ICANN as to, oh, we'll get around to it, I'm sorry, you know, Patrick didn't provide that. It was actually Dan, but I think the response was rather lacking. How hard is it to find the basis? You know, staff of 70, budget of $40 million, and they can't figure out how they came up with this list. Sorry, find it unacceptable. So.
Well, and also it may not just be the basis of need the basis of why it was done in the first place. In fact, that may be less important than if there are real reasons why maybe they should be reserved going forward. And I'm not trying to advocate one way or the other. There are other things, I think, besides just the basis for why it was done in the first place. You and I, Mike, for example, Mike Pelej, pretty much know how it was done.
Yeah, I understand that.
It'd
be nice if somebody would admit that on the record, but of course they won't, because that may prejudice their continued ongoing basis.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So let's move on.
Okay, good. Now, Mike Rodenbaugh, with regard to the I don't think you need to go through Liz on the issue with regard to .name and .pro, and that would be a good task for Edmund to do since he's on the registry list, just to contact the two, contact for each of those, or just to check the documents. Actually, it can be just checked with their agreements. So that one you don't need to go through Liz on to confirm that. Now, what about the rewording of the recommendations, for example?
Chuck?
Yes?
I'm sorry, I was in the queue.
I understand, Marilyn. I haven't forgotten you.
Okay.
But go ahead. I was following up on something that was specifically said there.
I know, but it kind of sounds like you were coming to a conclusion that I'm not in agreement with and I want to be on the record, okay?
All right. Go ahead. Get on the record.
Thank you. I know that some people have a passionate concern about this various issues. I myself have those same passionate views, but I must say that I'd like us to be dispassionate about assessing the this topic and just ask factually and neutrally, what is the basis and the advantage of keeping these names on reserve, and not go back. And Mike, I'm specifically probably commenting about your view of people ought to be on the record of justifying. I think that's a waste of our time and a waste of the ICANN staff time. Let's just do, what's the basis for continuing this going forward? I think in the grand scheme of things, of all the reserve name issues we have to deal with, this is not impairing innovation, and I would put this myself personally, when I think about business users, I'd put this topic as a really low priority for business users. If we were to go poll business users around the world, I don't think they'd care. I think they would care more about what's the rationale for just keeping it in place. And let's just ask that question.
Chuck, if I could respond to Marilyn.
Sure.
Marilyn, as you articulate, as you've noted in the past, you're not a trademark attorney or an attorney in general. The fact that there are certain trends, I just thought I'd put that on the record.
This is Greg. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I know. I'm struck by that.
depends who you're talking to.
As I've tried to articulate, there are certain strings on that reserve list that are nationally registered trademarks on behalf of businesses. Now, maybe all businesses may not care about their name, but certain businesses that may have their strings excluded from registration by an ICANN policy potentially impacts them. And since ICANN gets its authority and enforces these authorities through contracts, it's important to understand the nature of where those contract rights exist to preclude someone from using a domain name.
Okay, I want to make a dispassionate statement here, okay? The council did make a decision that we would continue to pursue this particular one further than was in the original 30-day statement of work, and we are doing that. We will try to do our best. I know the committee will try to do, the subcommittee will do their best to get what they can done in the 30 days. And at this stage of the game, I don't think it's really good use of our time to debate the pros and cons, whether this is a high priority or not, because I think all of you know my view, and it doesn't matter what my view is. Let's see what we can get done, and then we'll all be able to comment on the decisions that come out of the subgroup. Okay? Anybody else want to jump in on this one? Okay. And, of course, with regard to the word example, you need to make sure you incorporate any comments from the IDN working group. You're not obligated to necessarily abide by all those, but you certainly should address those as a subgroup so that the full working group then can take that into consideration. And then remember that one of your tasks is to provide a brief rationale in support of whatever recommendations end up being made by the subgroup and then will be considered by the full working group. Any questions on that?
Would you just state that last thing again, Chuck? Sorry.
And this is true with every
uh-huh.
one of the working groups,
right.
Is to provide a brief rationale in support of the recommendations. Now, in essence, Marilyn, in most cases, that's going to go back to the remember we defined the role
mm-hmm.
of the category.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably very closely related to that. But one of the suggestions made in Lisbon
mm-hmm.
was that we provide a clear rationale for the recommendations that we're making.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. So it's certainly that what we did for role will help there. I suspect it may go a little bit further than that.
But I just wanted to be sure I understood that this is what we'll do for all of them.
That is correct. In fact, and I'll refer to that again, but I won't say as much as I did this time when I'm looking at the requirements for each subgroup. Okay. All right. Going then to single and two-character reserve names, Greg, you're on.
Thank you, Chuck. We had our first telephone meeting of the subcommittee yesterday. I think think we accomplished quite a bit. We are in the process of putting together a call with at least one technical expert, Steve Bellavin, for Monday, to discuss the issues in single and two character names, primarily at the top level, but broadly speaking, what the issues are from a technical standpoint, and we are looking to engage in discussions or email exchanges with other technical experts as well on that point. Neil Blair is coordinating that call.
Greg, I want to ask a point of clarification.
Sure.
There. Now, I assume you're talking about single character ASCII.
Yes.
In this technical call, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Separately, we are also looking to put together calls with technical experts in the IDN area as well, as point A of our working group point puts in, consult further with IDN experts regarding single and two character IDN names, and including a definition of character. Patrick Jones is going to be circulating shortly a definition of character for us to use or for us to consider in this as well. Our next working group call is scheduled for Tuesday, coming up.
Excuse me a second. Somebody's got some music coming through on the recording here. So if you could mute.
This is John. I'm from New York, but I'm not guilty of this.
and Chuck, you know, I would get in the queue to make a comment, but I'm dancing around my hotel room.
I always work with background music when I'm in New York as well.
Let me just I think, Greg, we briefly talked about this, but the call should be open to any members of the broader working group on Monday, right? And
yes.
we're gonna transcribe it.
Yes, we will transcribe it and post it and all those good things. The call is scheduled for 4:30 Eastern. I won't attempt to do all of the conversions. I know that's not great for some people, but it's when the expert was available. So in this case, we have to bow to his schedule.
Good. Okay. Go ahead.
We also have are working on questions for the GAC with regard to IDN as well, and Patrick has volunteered to help coordinate that as well.
Now, let me make some suggestions there, and none of these are probably new to some of you anyway. Asking questions of the GAC, and this is not at all meant as a criticism of the GAC, it's just reflecting the reality of the GAC. When you ask questions of the GAC, the only way the GAC can respond is if they reach a consensus. And we're not going to get a consensus from the GAC in 3 months, let alone 30 days. So my recommendation is to try, if you're going to ask questions and want some responses in 30 days, rather than addressing them to the GAC, it's okay to mention that you want GAC input, but you probably ought to address them at some experts in the GAC or the GAC working group for GTLDs and let them know that some responses from individuals would be appreciated, because the GAC is going to, you're not going to get a response from the GAC officially. Okay? Does that make sense, Greg?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. And so I'm just trying to make sure that you maximize your efficiency. In the joint session in Lisbon with the GAC and the CCNSO and the GNSO on IDNs, you know, I even got up to the mic and said, hey, you know, if some of you as experts in this area could help us, for example, on single character, two character, and so forth, and Patrick is fully aware of those, so I'm really glad that he's providing some support there. Addressing it to some of those individuals and doing that, I think you have a chance of getting something back in the 30-day period.
Chuck, this is Patrick. That's exactly what we're planning to do, and I'm going to be working with Donna Austin as the new GAC liaison here at ICANN, and she'll help make that go to the proper people rather than to the GAC as a whole.
Thanks, Patrick.
I guess approaching the GAC is somewhat like approaching the great and powerful Oz.
Well, you know, we're learning, though, there. And again, that's not at all critical of the GAC, but we need to fully understand how they operate. And if we do, we'll be much more effective in interacting back and forth.
Understanding how you deal with a plenary body, they have to speak officially, and speaking officially requires a lot of mechanical effort.
And a lot of time.
Yes.
Chuck, it's Marilyn.
Go ahead.
I think, and we'll leave this to Donna to work out as the new liaison, but the good news is, of course, there is a subgroup that Bill D acts as rapporteur to, but the chair needs to be communicated with as well. But I think this is a larger issue, I think, in terms of how we send the questions forward, and that is send out to GAC members who might be available to participate in a dialogue, and what do they feel they need to speak as consensus on? Because as we saw in our recent consultations, there is a growing willingness to have a conversation, but not to speak on behalf of the GAC. And I think, you know, this is just something for us to come back to at the end of our work and say, has the outreach to GAC members been sufficient, or do we see, and is the guidance from the chair of the GAC and the subgroup chairs, that there needs to be a more detailed GAC consultation?
And that may very well be able to happen in San Juan, but that'll of course be well past our working group.
Right.
And Marilyn, you're reinforcing some of the things I was saying. And I know that Patrick is fully aware of this because he and I have exchanged emails and so forth on this topic. But keep in mind that the GAC principles for new TLDs only apply to ASCII.
Right.
They admit at the very end of their document that they're probably not going to be done with the IDN TLD issue until, at the soonest, the annual meeting of ICANN, which is scheduled to be the end of October, early November. But
they would welcome questions.
Yes.
That would, yes.
Yeah, and then I heard you use the word consensus. I just want to caution with the GAC, you're not going to get any consensus until they approve a statement at the soonest, probably in the annual meeting.
But Chuck, again, this is Patrick. The types of questions and the information that we send to them might actually be really helpful to them, or to educate them as they're developing their IDN.
Absolutely, Patrick. I know you listened to the MP3. I think of the call with the GAC on Monday morning, and they reinforced that. Some of the things we were asking, they recognized as helpful as they look at the IDN TLD issue. Go ahead, Greg. Sorry to jump in so much, but you guys have a huge task here.
We
and
do.
I'm really impressed with how you started.
Well, we have a huge task and a large active group, and it's been, first call was a pleasure. As well, we are, as I said, we are working on draft questions for the experts. These have been circulated initially by Marilyn. By this, I mean the technical experts with regard to the ASCII side of things. Patrick is taking the lead on the IDN issues. And we're back to the music again. We will be obviously taking, we're mindful of the short amount of time and the large amount of work. We're trying to identify a low-hanging fruit that we can actually bring to a conclusion during our stub period here, and try to identify maybe some more meaningful things than needs further work for those places where the needs further work was not in itself some sort of conclusion. It was really more of a placeholder. I think we'll be our next call is scheduled for next Tuesday. I think we'll be working on those items as well as perhaps further discussion fallout from our experts call on Monday.
And just one more bit of guidance, and I suspect that you're way ahead of me on this, but I think it's better to leave things and not leave things unsaid. To the extent that you can, make sure that you prioritize items that you're quite confident that you can have a complete recommendation at the end of our 30-day period. And in contrast, I'm not saying don't work on the ones where more work's going to be needed, because we need to do that too. But any of them that we can finalize, let's make sure we get those. Not forget those and all of the other hard work that we're doing, because that those will flow right into the new TLD process.
Chuck, thanks for that. That's absolutely where we're going on the low-hanging fruit, and hopefully we will be able to devote some good time to the higher fruit and at least bring it lower, if not pick it entirely.
And as you're going, and this is for all the working groups, I mentioned it real briefly in the first one on ICANN, IANA names, but in any cases where we can provide examples, that was another request in Lisbon that was suggested by Bruce and others, that anywhere we can provide examples to illustrate what we're talking about will really help the lay people, and this is particularly true with IDNs, but it applies to ASCII as well. Anything else, Greg?
That's all. If any members of the subgroup would like to chime in with things that I've left out. Still getting used to this tearing thing, Chuck. You make it look easy, but it's not.
Takes a lot of time. Hey, anybody from the subgroup, first of all, would like to comment? Okay. Anybody from the full working group?
Hey, Chuck, this is Ray.
Go ahead, Ray.
I have a request. If we could swap C and D, only because I've had a commitment come up here at 3 o'clock. Mike Pallage is okay with that.
Yeah, in other words, go... Okay, that would be fine. So we'll go to the GTLD names. And before we go there, did anybody want to comment on the single and two character? Any other comments? Okay, Ray, I think that's okay. I'm not even going to ask Mike if he's okay with that. We'll just jump in. Sorry, Mike.
That's okay. I wouldn't have objected anyway. But.
I didn't think you would. I probably wouldn't have said that. But okay, GTLD names at the second level. Go ahead, Ray. I know that you just accepted this role yesterday, but where are you at?
Well, my first thing I did is I wanted to gain an understanding of why the initial recommendation was for more work. And I see that this subgroup has Edmund and Patrick, so that covers my deficiencies. And what I've learned is that the... there was varying opinions on this one brought forth during the initial work, and that was what led to the conclusion for additional work. And basically those opinions came from the affected parties, being the registry operators. Now, not all of them even provided an opinion, which also, I think, weakened the output of the original work. So the strategy here is to double back and make sure we get as much input as we can from the affected parties, being the registry operators, on this particular issue, and then we'll be discussing that with Edmund and Patrick on this. That's pretty much the update.
And on this particular one, Ray, I don't know if, I don't recall the results right off the top of my head on the registries that did respond to the subgroup that worked on this before, but I'm curious as to whether there was a difference between responses from sponsored GTLDs versus unsponsored.
Yes, there was.
Okay.
There was, and I think part of what we will be looking at is there. Obviously there was an original reason why there was this reservation. Okay, and does that original reason, is it still valid? But also, things do change, and there might be very valid reasons to continue the reservation that may not be the original reason. So those are things we need to look at.
Okay.
Chuck, can I get in the queue, please?
Please, Marilyn, go ahead.
I just want to offer a suggestion, Ray, and it isn't that I have more time to participate in another group, but I think we need to be careful at ICANN overall when we use the term affected party. Mm-hmm. Registrants believe that they're affected parties, just as do the registrars and the registries.
Right.
So in addition to outreach to the registries, which I think is important, I think we it would be good to try to figure out how to hear from the groups of that can try at least to represent the user community, that being the three commercial user constituencies, the NCUC and the at-large. And obviously, you know, give them all timelines to try to get back to you. But I think we run the risk here if we think at ICANN that the only affected party is are the registries, we're actually missing both registrars and the rest of the user population. So maybe if when you design your outreach, you could, you know, go back as well to the at-large and to the various constituencies and give them a time frame to get back to you. That might be helpful.
Yeah, Marilyn, you know, actually I used those particular words just for that purpose, was to, you know, bring out, you know, the thoughts on that. So I'm glad that, you know, glad that you mentioned that. I think the primary affected parties here are the GTLD operators. Now, there could be indirect or secondary implication to registrants, but right now, in unless you correct me or others, they're not affected now because they're simply reserved now, okay, and have been reserved. So if there is a change in the reserve name policy, then the primary affected parties are going to be the GTLD operators. Is that reasonable?
I don't think so, because if I have a bank of 300 reserve names, or a bank of 5,000, or a bank of 15,000, registrants are affected as well as registries and registrars.
And certainly there's the issue of confusion, which is was one of the reasons why they were reserved in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And so it does seem like a reasonable approach to get some feedback from the various constituencies with regard to how they view it. And Liz can help in that regard, so that we have this following the same principle as that we kind of have a centralized coordination of these communications going out.
And I do think, just to follow on, I think it's reasonable way to say, you know, we have a short time frame. Please respond within X number of days on, you know, whether you think that the community that you're trying to represent has significant questions or concerns.
I think that's an excellent suggestion, really, Marilyn. That's exactly why I use those words, and so I appreciate you bringing that out.
Okay, and again, that'll need to go out quickly so that we can give them a reasonable time. Now, Ray, I didn't mean to imply that you need to go through Liz to communicate with the registries, because you can do that readily because you're part of that constituency.
Right.
But in other cases, I think it is helpful to central.
Very good. Thanks.
Anything else, Ray?
Nope, that's it.
Any other comments or questions on the GTLD names at the second level? Okay, good. Thanks a lot, Ray, and thanks for jumping in here and helping us out. Really appreciate it.
Sure, I might be able to join the call again in a little while, but I'll
okay.
be jumping off right now.
Okay, good.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, Mike Pelage, I think you're up with geographical and geopolitical names.
All right, thanks, Chuck. Basically, the group just got it started, I'd say, within the last 24 to 48 hours. What we've come up with, if you will, some preliminary, direction on where we intend to go. With regard to the work that the group had done previously, we had drafted a list of questions to be submitted to the GAC and to WIPO and some other interested parties. What I am doing now is I'm reviewing the transcript from the GAC GNSO call from earlier in the week, and I've just gotten to actually page 13 where they start talking about geographic names. So hopefully I will be able to see whether some of those questions have been answered in that dialogue or if those questions are still unanswered. Based upon the group's reviewing of the transcripts and the questions previously drafted by the group, we would then be able to hopefully have them available for forwarding by the end of the week. So that is our first particular action item that we're working on.
Now, Mike, if I can interrupt you right there just so that I don't lose this thought, but in your report, your subgroup report, I think it'll be very helpful to make reference not only to any consultation information you get and the transcript of the call that took place this past Monday, but also the GAC principles, because I think it's very helpful for the GAC to know that we considered their input. We may not always do exactly what they're wanting, but it is important to them that they know we took their input into consideration.
And that will be the case, because with regard to geographical identifiers, there really was not a lot of change on their particular recommendations in that area. So again, we will make sure in referencing our questions that the questions from the subgroup that were prepared previous to Lisbon, to make sure that they are in sync with what was actually adopted by the GAC in Lisbon, and also will loop into that equation the input provided through Monday's call with the GAC. So again, as far as a timing, if you will, for deliverables, our objective is to have that list of questions available for consideration, hopefully by the end of this week. Well, definitely by the end of this week.
Good. Yeah, that's important, because again, we have such short turnaround time, and we know that it's difficult for many people, and especially the organizations that we're talking about here, to respond quickly. So that will be very helpful.
The other, if you will, second point, if you will, that we've discussed is with regard to potential recommendations. If, in fact, we go forward and do allow the allocation of names or allow the names to be allocated, the current thinking in the group, which I believe is shared by all members currently participating, is that we're going to try to stick to high-level principles and not get into the, if you will, the granular details of allocation mechanisms, rights, processes, and stuff like that. So those are, I think, the two points that we have discussed and sort of where we're at right now. So.
Okay, very good. Do people in the either in the subgroup or the working group as a whole have any questions or comments? Mike, and again,
I think Mike covered it pretty well for us.
Thanks, Mike. Tim. Mike Pelage, you're coordinating with Avery regarding the controversial names as well, and you're part of that group, so the linkage that we talked about last week in our meeting should happen readily. Is that correct?
I am on Avery's mailing list, so yes, any, if you will, cross-fertilization that is necessary, I will facilitate that communication between the groups.
And this category, like the controversial, is really going to be helpful for the new GTLD process and won't be included specifically as reserved names categories, and I think everybody's aware of that from our call last week. I won't repeat the other things that you have in your statement of work, because most of them apply to all the groups, and I think you've covered it well. This is a tough area, and this is an area, hopefully everybody has reviewed the GAC principles. They're asking for a lot in this particular area, and it's going to be tough to give them what they want, because even members of the GAC don't all agree on even though they supported the language and the principles, they don't all agree in terms of how geographic names should be protected. So, and I think the transcript will help somewhat from Monday's call. I was generally pleased with that we got. I think it was helpful. I don't think there were any big surprises. The GAC mainly wants to be heard and know that they were heard. And to the extent that we can address some of their concerns, it's helpful. In some cases, like this one, it may be very difficult to do what some countries want because they have very specific demands that would be difficult to implement. Anything else on this category?
The only thing I would add, Chuck, is that is consistent with the original work the original group had done, and that was one of the reasons why in our recommendation, both Aubrey, John, and myself...
Chuck, it's, sorry, can I get in the queue?
Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. One of the things that we tried to do is to recognize, if you will, the diverse views held by some governments on this topic and tried to tie that, in fact, to places where the registry was incorporated and was potentially subject to those laws. So, again, was not, if you will, an exact or a perfect proposal, but we were just trying to look for some potential solution to sort of navigate that particular minefield where there is a lack of international law on this topic.
Okay, thank you. Marilyn.
I just want to note that, you know, this is something that I know, and perhaps some others know who are close to the issue. There are countries who do have national law on these issues. Many other countries don't, but they have national norms. And I think that's one of the reasons it's difficult in the GAC to come up with a single recommendation.
Correct, yeah. And you know what I heard the GAC saying in the call on Monday morning was that, again, they want to be heard. Countries that do have laws or do have guidelines in this area, they want to make sure they have opportunity to put those forward, and they want ICANN, for ICANN's commitment, to consider those concerns. Even if it's not a GAC consensus position, and that doesn't mean, and this was recognized by GAC personnel on the call on Monday, they realize that ICANN is not, ICANN the board, is not always going to react the way each individual country wants them to, but they definitely want to be heard and to have the issues be raised so that they can be taken into consideration. And I think that's what your group is doing, Mike. And I think your original approach on this was good. It needs to be firmed up in some ways so that we make sure that there's no implication, that there's laws where there aren't laws and so forth. But I think you're on the right track.
All right.
Thanks. Okay. If there are no other comments on that, let's go to controversial names. Aubrey.
Okay, hi. We have not met yet. We've got a meeting scheduled for tomorrow. Glenn was kind enough to create us a list. So basically at tomorrow's meeting, what I'm planning to have us go through is first review the statement of work, review the relevant parts of the previous RN report, identify the relevant parts of the GAC and the IJN reports, and then basically go through our work methods and plan. Now, I'm hoping that we can actually do this with a minimal number of phone calls, since the phone call schedule is getting outrageously crowded, and to work with maybe a phone call at the beginning and one towards the end, and work with online, collaborative, passing documents back and forth, email on the list and such. That's just me speaking at the moment. I don't know how the rest of the group will react, and et cetera. So, as I say, so that's my hope. We'll see what comes out of it tomorrow.
I think you may have a chance at doing that, in my own perception, because I thought that the work first time around on this area was very good and on a sound track, and you're going to be able to build on that. So it may actually be possible to do that, and I wish you good luck in that regard.
I don't have much more to add at the moment, not having had a meeting. I don't know if people want to, you know, you wanted to go through any issues that exist in the SAO according to the you know, rest of the group here. I did send a notification of both the list and the phone time in.
Okay. No, I think I think that's good. And I've been tracking, as you know, the all the exchanges and going on and finding meeting times so that I knew you guys were working hard to get together and so forth. So.
And it's about to get worse because there's another working group that's, that's going to grab a big chunk of schedule. So.
Yep. That is correct.
And with really only one or two open spots, if you get global, it's just a mess.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you very much, Aubrey. Any questions or comments on controversial names? Okay, then just a final comment to all the subgroups. And I know everybody knows this, but we're going to have to keep it in front of us. Very short time frame. Our completion date is Monday, May 10th. And so we've got a lot to do to get what we have to do done. And so I certainly appreciate all the time that everybody's putting in and your efforts. And chairs, I ask you to keep that target in front of people and do the best you can. I know you can only drive so as hard as people will respond, short time frame, focus on things that we can get done, and certainly focus on others as well. So make sure we get the low-hanging fruit done and then at a bare minimum provide some good guidelines in cases where other work may be needed. In the case of both controversial and geographic names, I believe that the new TLD committee is going to have to do a little more work in terms of their process based on what's fed into that.
Chuck, as far as the new TLD committee, is that something, would we be able to migrate over and continue our contributions into that? Myself, I've attended a lot of the new TLD committees, that the sessions that have been happening. But
well, actually, I personally think that would be very helpful. And in fact, the way the new GTLD has been operated by Bruce all along is that observers have been welcome, and not only welcome to observe, but have actively participated throughout. So I see no problem there at all from the way it's happened in the past, and I don't see that changing. If anybody wants to comment differently, there are several people that have been on that throughout. Please feel free to jump in. Again, we have to realize that group also has a very short deadline because they're looking at the 1st of June for completing, having the work completed, although there are a couple areas where it may be a little bit difficult. But Liz, do you want to comment a little bit on that? A time frame for the new TLD committee? She was probably on mute.
Chuck, this is Patrick. I think Liz had to at least leave it on mute for the second hour, so she might not be able to jump on.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Patrick. Okay, but anyway, she has.
No, Chuck, I am here.
Okay. You want to comment briefly for the benefit of the group, especially controversial names and geographic names, where their recommendations likely will feed into the new TLD process itself rather than as reserved names. Thought it might be helpful if you commented on the timing of what you expect with regard to the new TLD process.
Top line is as quickly as possible to get the work finished would be tremendous. Bottom line is at some point perhaps we might need to adjust the time frames. Part of the adjustment of the time frame depends on the availability of internal resources to do the posting of the document, and it's actually a very detailed process, and that is invisible stuff that generally the committee can't see, but it must take place. There's also another element which needs, because we're going to be posting a final report, we need to go through the General Counsel's office to make sure that that's approved. So I would hope very much that we stick to the timeframes that we've set, but I just want people to realise that there may be some slippage here and there depending on resources internally.
Thank you. All right, flipping back over to the agenda now, do any of the subgroups need any, have any special needs of support that staff possibly could provide other than the outreach to experts, which Liz will be coordinating through Liz in most cases? Okay. Then let's go on to the update on the GNSO call that occurred with the GAC on the 16th. Now, let me qualify what I attached to the agenda. It was just my notes on the questions that I asked. I did not try to take notes on other questions that were asked, so I would welcome others providing feedback on that. I just happened to have that readily available and did not have time to go through the transcript or the MP3 and capture everything that was said on the other questions that were asked there. So if you and if you have the agenda in front of you, if you just go down to the document that I attached to the agenda after the end of the agenda there, I incorporated the principles to make it easier to follow what was said. And what I'll do is just quickly, I'll let you read the principles yourself, but I'll just focus on the questions and the responses we received from the GAC. On principle 2.1, I asked what criteria could be used, you know, to determine whether a proposed ETLD string violates this principle of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and also ask if it's possible to develop objective measurable criteria. Again, focusing on the fact that the new TLD committee has really tried to make sure that whatever we do is measurable, is objective, and really minimizes subjectivity. Basically, the responses that we got back on those questions was, you know, what the GAC is looking for is the ICANN board to ultimately make any judgments that would be required, even if they're subjective. I know the ICANN board loves that. The GAC in general didn't see this particular area coming up frequently. Whether they're right or not on this, it remains to be seen. I think because of the way the new GTLD process is going to be set out, that probably it wouldn't be very wise for people with investing a lot of money in the application process and other areas to submit names that are going to be a problem here, because I think it'll be pretty clear up front that there's going to be the possibility of challenge and increased costs and so forth. So maybe the GAC will be right in that regard, that these kind of cases will be infrequent. They also said that they thought that these kind of things would be handled on a case-by-case basis. Bill D, specifically, and again, he could only speak for Bill D, but he is a spokesman they've used often, and they didn't expect a particular procedure in the selection process with regard to this, but wanted some sort of a means by which these kind of issues would be dealt with if they do occur. They did not have any examples, for example, with CCTLDs, where criteria of this particular Declaration of Human Rights have been applied, and that pretty much covers the feedback that I took notes on from that. Now, because anybody that was on that call, or maybe that's read the transcript or listened to the MP3, have anything to add with regard to this particular principle? It obviously is the one related to controversial names. Okay. Okay. Good enough. On 2.6. Principle 2.6. Well, let me stop. I think there were some other principles that there were questions asked about between 2.1 and 2.6. Patrick, I think you're aware of one. Could you provide some feedback on that?
Sorry, can you repeat the question again? I was on.
Yeah, I think it was principle 2.4 that you had a question was asked by Philip Shepard. Regarding what they meant by a single character. Did you want to provide some feedback on that? I can do it if you want me to.
I don't have it in front of me right now, so maybe if you have it, you can go
ahead. I don't have it right in front of me, but I think I remember it pretty well. First of all, again, let me go back to my comments that the GAC was clearly not in their principles that they provided an official statement from the GAC on in Lisbon for new TLDs did not include IDNs. So they clearly were not talking about IDN characters when they said single characters. So from that, it became very clear in the discussion that they were really talking about single letters and they were dealing in the ASCII realm, not the IDN realm. You want to add anything to that, Patrick?
That's what I heard them say, and I don't really have anything extra to add to that.
Yeah, and of course that's what the single character and two character name working group is going to be pursuing further. And the discussion also that occurred in the joint session with the GAC, the CCNSO and the GNSO on IDN TLDs in Lisbon, that topic was talked about there as well. So that's another place that you can look at the transcript, and a few things came out there and see questions that were asked.
I have the question now in front of me, and it was about 2.4. The way that section read is that it's not clear whether the GAC is referring to ASCII letters or characters, but then at the end it says that the whole document is only on ASCII characters and their ASCII letters and not IDNs.
Yeah.
But when they were discussing this, they said that the question about character versus letter is very interesting and something they should consider, and they'll be thinking about that as they talk about IDNs.
And some of them obviously had, even at before Lisbon, because that issue was discussed briefly there in the joint session.
Yeah, and this is where coming up with the definition of character is going to help them and be useful for going forward with the new GTLD process.
Oh, I absolutely agree. Yeah. Okay. Unless somebody has another principle they want to talk about before 2.6, the next one I asked questions on was principle 2.6. And if you look at the notes, you'll notice that I highlighted in yellow the words ensures and promotes. And those were Bill Graham from Canada made the statement that ensures is intentionally a stronger word than promotes. And I think that's enlightening in terms of this particular GAC principle. So and you can look at you can read the questions I asked specifically, and of course they received those in writing before the call. But they definitely think that security and stability is a priority, and that's perfectly consistent with the new TLD report on that has been posted for quite a while, and the GNSO's position in general. They made the point though that they believe that diversity supports security and stability, which is a true concept, but again, I think that the main thing to point out here is that they expect the process to ensure security, reliability, global interoperability, and stability of the DNS, and promotes competition, consumer choice, geographical, and service provider diversity. Now, I did question them in terms of what they were really looking at for service provider diversity. They didn't get too much back on that, but obviously they're looking for hopefully other new players in the registry services field, including in from other regions of the world and so forth. Any questions or comments on that? Okay. 2.7 was the next one I asked, and again I highlighted in yellow. Notice that they say applicant registries for new TLDs should pledge to. Yes,
Marilyn. Sorry, I wasn't able to get off. I'm going to comment on the previous issue.
Okay.
Sorry, I was slow getting off mute. I do want to comment on that. As a former counselor of the BC, I was actually involved in helping to draft the BC position. And I thought that the way that the GAC responded was actually very helpful, and that is that security and stability, as you said, is a primary imperative. But in addition, the GAC is expecting the introduction of diversity in infrastructure, in service providers, and in particular, all things being equal, seeing a geographic distribution of providers. So, you know, just it's just worth noting that there are some constituencies who have also indicated support for that position, keeping in mind the imperative of security and stability. And I thought the GAC was actually coming out pretty close to where many of the constituencies have.
Yeah, I think that's correct, Marilyn. Huh? And again, this is an area where I thought the way they responded was quite helpful on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
I think, though, that they went one step further. I mean, they basically went so far, at least what I think I heard, that there is no stability and security without diversity.
You know, Aubrey, you're right. The bill, I think, Bill D, in particular, talked about how, and I think we've seen that in the ISP world and in the IP networking world, that diversity brings its own form of reliability and redundancy and choice. And I think that was a point that Bill was making as well.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else, Marilyn, on that?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So going back then to 2.7, this one here actually uses the word blocking of names, and the feedback we got on that they were really they're really not talking about new TLDs in this regard, and they're not necessarily talking about a reserved names list. They're talking about second level names, and really looking, expecting that either through a sunrise parade or something, that names that an applicant for a new TLD would pledge to provide some coverage with regard to, or some blocking of government names. Now, in that regard, and this is just me speaking, okay, not representing anybody in this, but I think I kind of relate it to the .asia bid for a new TLD. They certainly put in a process in their application and as they introduced the .asia TLD, where governments in their region do have an opportunity either block or register or whatever procedure they're using there. And the impression I got from the meeting Monday was that that's kind of what they're looking for applicants to do, to pledge to do those sorts of things. And it may make sense to do that if a registry is coming from a particular jurisdiction where there are laws in that regard or strong guidelines or whatever. Does somebody else want to jump in on that in terms of that? Now, this one obviously involves more than just geographic names. They've got IGOs, which that's another issue I'll come back to in a minute.
Chuck, it's Alistair, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
So you said, sorry, I haven't got the text open in front of me. You said blocking of government names. Did you mean country names, or did you mean government organization names?
Well, Alistair, if you look at their principle, and I'm sure you have, they actually talk about governments, public authorities, IGOs, and want them to be able to challenge abuses of names. And what they clarified was really at the second level, not the top level. I think there's going to be a process at the top level in our new TLD procedure for that to happen. But there isn't one for second level, except in, I think it's five agreements where there's some geographical limitations and so forth. But they say, so they use several terms. I don't think it's just government names, and we're going to come to another principle in a little bit that goes even further.
Okay, thank you.
Now, with regard to IGOs, the intellectual property constituency, as most of you are probably aware, has submitted a recommendation to the GNSO Council for an issues report regarding IGOs and investigating the possibility of whether a dispute procedure should be put into place for a fairly restricted definition of IGOs to be able to challenge uses of their names. We don't need to go into that on this call, but I just want people to be aware of that. The council possibly will act on that in their May meeting, whether or not to establish an issues report. And for those that are new to the process, an issues report could then lead into a policy development process if the council decides to do that. Anything else on that one? On 2.8, applicants should publicly document any support they claim to enjoy from specific communities. This one is really well covered already in the new TLD process that's been designed on this. So I think this is one that where the GAC and the GAC principles and the GNSO are already pretty much in sync. On 2.12, this one was interesting because, and I will refer to the wording on this, it says ICANN should continue to ensure that registrants and registrars and new TLDs have access to an independent appeals process in relation to registry decisions related to pricing changes, et cetera. We pointed out to the GAC that we're not aware of any such procedure, so we were questioning the use of the word continue there. And so I think they understood the point. Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, I think one thing that did come up, and it hadn't occurred to me or I think any of us, is that they were considering perhaps that the ombudsman and making appeals through that was indeed part of such a process.
Right, yeah. And as most of us know, the ombudsman role might be able to be used in that respect, but it is fairly restricted in terms of actions by the board and staff. So anyway, I don't know that we...
Yeah, I wasn't saying that was adequate. I was just saying that...
No, good. I'm glad you shared that. And so anyway, we made the point they're aware of that, and I don't think that there was anything much substantial beyond that. And then going to towards the very end of their document, 3.3, this was a toned down version of what they had in the draft GAC principles that were circulated. This is the one that if individual GAC members or other governments express formal concerns about any issues related to the new GTLDs, the ICANN board should fully consider those concerns and clearly explain how it will address them. Well, their comments on this was really, they really intended this, at least in what they said, the representative said on the call Monday, to be pretty much a restatement of what the ICANN board has already committed to with the GAC. And that was the main thing I heard from them in response to this. And if that's true, then that is already in place. The ICANN board does do that. Any questions or comments on that? Then a general comment about the GAC principles. Again, several of you, especially controversial names and geographic names, categories, it's going to be very helpful in your reports that you refer to the GAC principles. I think that's very important that the GAC can readily see documented that we have considered their principles, and that will be very helpful. Any other things to talk about with regard to the call with the GAC on Monday? Okay. Well, then I think we've done really well today. And we actually may have a call that gets done early, unless somebody wants to complain. The next thing on the agenda then is, and by the way, I think all of you know, I gave the URLs where the transcript can be found and the MP3 of that GAC meeting in the agenda. Action items for next meeting. Again, it'll be next Wednesday, the 25th of April, same time as today. And the subgroups know, you're just going to continue your work. And again, we'll have a brief report from each group. And if you have issues that you would like some feedback earlier on from the full working group, please be prepared to identify those. If you need some support in some way, please be ready to do that as well. Progress is going to be increasingly important each meeting that we have, and next week will be our third meeting out of five, regularly scheduled meeting anyway, and I think it may be hard to squeeze in any other meetings with everything else that's going on. So you might want to be a little more detailed in terms of your progress next week so that we know how you're doing and how we can help. Liz and I, as we already said, are going to continue on the general task that we have from the statement of work, as well as the wording on the some of the categories that just need some wordsmithing and so forth from the feedback we got in Lisbon. And that brings us to the end of our agenda. Is there anything else that anybody wants to bring up? Okay. Thank you very much for all the hard work by everyone, and we'll meet again same time, same station next week. Goodbye.
Okay, thank you, Chuck.
Bye.
Good day. Thank you, Chuck. Bye. Bye.